hate spinnerbait. The podcast.
Here she goes.
I almost said the spinnerbait where we hate everything.
The spinnerbait where we hate everything. Keep that in.
The podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love our Patreon members. Hey.
Yes, we do.
We wanted to give a shout out to all y'all. Was not expecting the sheer amount of people that is in here. So here we go.
Like, y'all flatter us. Thank you so much.
I know. Seriously. Thank you so much. Okay. So thank you, Emily, Jill, Maud, Holly, Alyssa. Should I be saying last names? Nah, that's too much.
Yeah, that might be too. That might be invasive. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like, is that doxing them? I don't know.
Is that doxing them? Yeah.
Pammy.
We hate spinnerbait and we hate doxing.
And we hate doxing. Very much. Leah, Pammy, Sunshine, Crystal, Leah, Tessa, Jennifer, Katie. Katie's been there since the beginning.
Yeah, day one.
Shout out, Katie. Destiny, Katie, another Katie. With a Y. Katie with a Y.
Katie with a Y.
Michelle. Maggie. Emmy St. John. Whoop, whoop. She gets her full name because she's my personal friend.
Yeah, we know her.
Barrett. Mac. Emily. Brianna. Cece. Duh. Amanda. Allison. And Elise.
Yes. Boop, boop, I was boop. Trying to do the like at graduation and they're like, please hold all the applause until the end. Because I would like want to be like, woo to people, but then I was like, oh no, that'd be obnoxious if I did it. Yeah.
So long.
So I'm just gonna give a woo to all of you now. Oh, I'm so sorry. That was probably so loud in people's eardrums. I apologize. Also, special shout out to Brianna for always sending dank Dr. Pepper memes.
Yes. Brianna gets a special shout out as
live
well.
For that.
Yeah. Yeah, she always sends me Taylor Swift stuff too, and yes. I'm like, you just get me
quality content. She gets it. But thank you to all of you, obviously. But I just had to shout out the dank Dr. Pepper memes and Taylor Swift content. And CC, thank you for being our data collector. I actually have a CC question, so I really hope she's up to date right now because, y'all, there's something in these chapters that I'm like, I try to do my own research and I can't. So I'm gonna need help.
We're so good at existing and doing this podcast.
We are.
Also, y'all, listen, friends and family, I am going through it, okay? So please
just bear with her.
Bear with me. I'm probably going to sound crazy half of the time for the next few weeks, but you know what? Probably forever. Let's be fucking honest. What else is new? Okay. First of all, before we start the moon and more, I do just want to bring up one thing, one very crucial and important thing.
Mm-hmm. She did not warn me of this, so I'm not sure if she's going, but I'm intrigued. My ears are perked.
At Wembley Stadium.
Okay, I know we're going with this now.
Mr. Travis Kelce put on his suit. He put on his smile. And he performed in the Eras Tour.
Can I just say, as someone who watched this from literally 20 different angles, every time a new video popped up of a new angle, obviously I watched it, y'all. Obviously I watched it. And then today, Taylor like posted about it, and I was like, shut the front door. Swoon. Oh, but can I just say, truly, Travis, like, he did good. Like, he did really good.
He did good.
You know what I mean? Which I know everyone's like, oh, my God. Like, he didn't really have to do much. But, like, he did. Like, he was up there pantomiming. Like, he was up there, like, giving a performance. And I am impressed by that, first of all. Second of all, no other boyfriend could ever. Like, this is crazy to me. This is – remember, y'all, when we got excited over Guy on the Chiefs, which I still slays and still gets me excited every time. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that the Travis Kelce would be on stage at the Eras Tour. Never in my wildest dreams. Like, that is insane. That's like, she did that. They did that. That is no other boyfriend. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. It's insane.
I have been spending a lot of time just, like, sitting and staring at, like, Eras Tour videos and being, like, just blown away by how much of a genius this woman is. Like, I just sit here and I'm like, guys, Taylor Swift, the story she weaves. And my husband is just like, okie dokie. Like,
yeah, we get it. You know how, like, we're so in the bubble? You know what I mean? Like, our algorithm is Taylor Swift. Like, I'm sending people, like, you know, in the group chat. Like I'm messaging you things. You know, our girl Brianna, she's messaging us Taylor Swift things. Like, this friend, that friend. Like, it's so in your – like, yesterday, again, like I said, I watched 20 different versions of this. That in my mind, I just assume the world – like, how does the world not know that Travis Kelce was on stage with the Eras Tour at Wembley Night 3? And yet today people are like, how was your weekend? And people like saw that I posted about meeting my niece. And like, obviously that was a great thing. And I was like, well, it was great. I met my niece. And then Travis Kelce was on stage and blah, blah, blah. And people were like, what? And I was like, how do you not know? Because like literally my entire feed was that yesterday. And it blows my mind that people don't know that. Like, I'm like, oh, like you live in a world where that didn't show up from every angle. And that's crazy to be like, that's like sad to me. Cause I'm like, your whole day wasn't made yesterday.
Right. You didn't spend hours watching the same 5 seconds over and over, over again.
I can't relate. You haven't been like, oh my god, what's the surprise songs, what mashups did you like? That doesn't, you don't look forward to that every day of a show, because like I can't relate.
Right. I usually watch the live stream every time, but shit was going on. I wasn't paying attention to it, but I looked at my phone at one point and I got like a notification from the Taylor Swift app that I have.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a notification from that app on my phone that was like, Travis Kelce joins Taylor Swift on stage. And I was like, oh, what? And then from that point on, that was it. That was my day. That was
it. I'm like, in my mind, I would have never thought it would be like, this, like performing, like maybe he like, I don't know why he would like come on just to be like, oh hey, at the end of a show or something. But like, it's like one thing to like I was thinking about red carpet appearances and how wild those would be, and instead we got this, and I was like, that's crazy.
That was crazy. Like, and when I first saw the notification too, I'm like, what does that mean? Like, did he like walk on the stage? Yeah. Was he like I was like, what does this mean? I couldn't have imagined something better.
Yeah, truly. Like, way to go. Also, I just love these last few days because Jason was there and I loved the girl dad energy that was radiating off of this man. Like, he was so happy to friendship bracelet trade with people and was like rocking out and was like showing his wife all the friendship bracelets that he had gotten. And I was like, I'm so happy about this girl dad energy that this man is bringing to this experience, and that he really seemed to be having a good time and taking in it, which is like so I feel like something he would enjoy, because he loves that kind of, like, the reason he loved going to like the Buffalo Bills game was because like he loves an experience, an environment. And I was like, my dude, you love an experience, Taylor Swift shows are gonna be for you.
Yep,
you are going 100%. To enjoy. But yeah, it was beautiful. Sorry that we've all just rambled on. I mean, I don't know, like the world changed yesterday, and if you didn't think that we were gonna discuss that briefly.
Yeah, the world changed yesterday. I felt a shift. Like,
it's going to be things, like, where were you? One of those, you know, like where we were.
Yes.
Where were you?
Where were you when this iconic moment happened? It's like.
Iconic.
It's iconic. And honestly, like, her public persona is an art form in itself, which I think I've said on this podcast before, because I'm like obsessed with that concept.
Right.
And the fact that she found a man to be involved in that play that she's performing.
Right, exactly.
Is, oh my gosh. Like, it's just, we're going to study like her in school for like histories.
Oh, yeah.
Histories. Oh my God. Guys, I tell you.
She said, she warned y'all. We were warned. I was speaking of what you're putting down there, though. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also like, this is my favorite thing. So today, because again, like this is such crazy big news. And so like you said, like performative, you know what I mean? In a sense.
Yes.
That today, even like all these are like Sports Center. Like I got a notification from ESPN about it, because of course he is a sports person. I got a notification from Entertainment Weekly. Like all these like national articles are coming. Like yesterday it's all like the Swiftie accounts, right? And then today it's like national articles are being written about, especially because Taylor Swift herself posted about it on Instagram. And my favorite thing is that then you find all the haters in the comments. And I was like, but you can't even hate. Because, like, what are the, like, the go-to is always, like, oh, she sucks and he sucks. And it's like, they fucking don't, though. Like, she is one of the biggest selling artists of all time on an absolutely insane selling world tour. And he has 3 Super Bowl rings. Like, you can't tell them that they suck. Like, in their perspective jobs, they are good at them. Both of them are good. Like, you can't, like, what are you going to say? You know what I mean? And so I was like, you just, like, have to laugh and, like, it is honestly, you can't write this, that like 2 people that are just that good at their jobs would find each other and be like that good at dating in public, like in the most like insane way you could date someone.
Crazy. It's like a story coming to life in front of us.
You can, again, if you wrote this in fiction, people would be like, that's insane. That's untrue. Like, that would never happen. And it's happened.
Yes. Can I say something else that's really random?
Yes, by all means.
I know that this is our Tuesday episode, but listen, people, let me just live my life.
Just go through it, y'all.
I don't want to get too into the weeds of this because I just don't. Yes. I am not super thrilled with. I know everybody was like sharing that post about Taylor posting a hard post of her and the royal family, like.
The hard to launch, me, as people were calling it.
To me, it makes me feel icky. It makes me feel gross.
Is it the royal family aspect of it?
It's the royal family aspect of
fair,
it.
Which is fair.
Pair that with, like, I love Taylor Swift. I love her. Okay? Yes. Mm-hmm. Pair that with the fact that she's a billionaire and you've got, like, a billionaire and a useless fucking monarch.
Yeah.
Who just have so much wealth. Mm-hmm. Well, so many people, like, it just feels like the wrong. But, you know, anyway, that being said, I read a lot of fiction stories about royal families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
fun. And I'm reading another one now. It's called The Royal Game.
Okay.
And without fail, and I want feedback on this, like, if you've ever read royal fiction, without fail, every single one of these books includes somebody getting engaged with the Princess Diana's ring. Every single one of them. They're like, he got down on one knee and he pulled out a ring and it's a huge blue sapphire surrounded by a halo of diamonds. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so we...
Princess Diana.
Design another ring, people.
It's the one ring, everyone. It is like the ring. It's the iconic ring. But I please, everyone, it's been done. Let's move past the Princess Diana ring. Please and thank you. You have to think, like, come on, a little originality. Also, my thing on the hard launch post, I was like, whoa, that's crazy that she like, again, like, we all obviously know we're dating. Like, they're dating. She talked about it in freaking Time Magazine in her Person of the Year Time Magazine article. It was mentioned. Okay. So, like, it's not a secret. They were, like, making out after he won the Super Bowl. We all saw it. It's not, like, obviously they're together. They openly talk about each other, which, you know, we love that, especially after Joe. But it was just crazy to me to see that she had posted something about him on Instagram because I was, like, that she just hasn't done that in a really, really, really long time. And so that was kind of wild. But I wasn't, like, particularly thrilled about it because, like you said, the royal aspect of it, which, again, I know a lot of people were like, oh, my God, like, you know, Prince William's going to be in attendance forever. And I was like, fucking crusty ass dude, you know, whatever, with his receding hairline. I don't care. But there were a few posts I thought were funny that was like, oh, my God, if they're in the VIP tent, can you imagine Jason Kelsey and Prince William interacting? Because Jason Kelsey is, like, not going to care that he's a royal, which I was like, yeah, exactly, as you should be. But here's my thinking about rich and famous people, okay? Is, like, it is very hard to impress rich and famous people. You know what I mean? Like, when you reach that level of fame, like someone like a Taylor Swift, like, you are not easily impressed by that many people. Again, I think the real royal that showed up this weekend was Sir Paul McCartney, in my humble opinion, an absolute fucking legend. But, like, someone like that, yes, I think someone like that, like, impresses her. You know what I mean? But, like, overall, like, she knows everyone. But I think something about the, like, aura of royals, like, the fact that we're all fascinated with royals, like, I am fascinated. Like, I am not going to pretend like I'm not fascinated by royals. Do I think they should exist as a concept? No.
Yeah.
But right, I'm fascinated, especially as an American, like, because we don't have that. Like, it's just a fascinating thing to us. And so I think it's one of those things that it's, like, that still has like an aura to her. So to her, it was like, yes, I'm going to post the first picture with it being Prince William, because it's like that to her is still like cool. You know what I mean? When like, whatever, which again, I'm not saying is right, but just like in the psyche of what it must be like to be like this rich, crazy person, like who is cool to you anymore, you know?
Right.
But yeah, that's my thoughts. But anyways, I think those are all our thoughts. This is, we are truly living again.
We're living like in a moment.
In the billions of years that we could be on planet Earth, how fortunate are we to be living in this time? I mean, there's lots of shitty things, but we did get to say that we were alive at the same time as Taylor Swift, and that's pretty great. Feel fortunate about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very fun to be like the same age as her and have been with her through her whole career, yeah, and getting to see like this part of her story and like history, if you will.
Yeah.
But, you know, other things happening.
Kind of bad. But I was thinking all, like,
mostly everything else.
Mostly everything else is real shit. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, literally seeing Paul McCartney there, and I was thinking, like, I've seen Paul, yes, McCartney live, which was amazing, but to have been able to see Paul McCartney, like, to see the Beatles in their time, like, people that can say that they saw that, I'm like, oh my god, that's so cool. And I was like, we're gonna be that someday to people, that I'll be like, yeah, I saw Taylor Swift in her prime, and they'll be like, oh my god, that's so crazy, cool, but, like, tell me, like, whatever, like, that, and I'm like, that's fucking cool that I can say that.
Yeah, I know. She is, like, just on another level of performance art, and just, I could go on for hours, so I think
we should probably cap it there so we can talk about the moon, yes, and more.
Yes, today we're talking about the moon and more, chapters 6 and 7. But yeah, chapter 6, this was very Dean and Jess energy, actually. Yes, like these, yeah, two chapters
is giving Dean and Jess 100%. Mm-hmm. You are correct.
Yes. So it opens with her, with our main character, Emmeline. Also, somebody in the Discord was like, how do y'all pronounce that? I didn't think there would any other way but Emmeline.
Yeah, right. I would assume it's Emmeline. I mean, that's what we've been pronouncing it. If we are wrong about this, I will be how else did you say it? Is there another way to say it? I don't know. We're saying Emmeline.
Amaline or something? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Let us know. Sound off in the comments. But Emmeline is at the realty place, and these girls just showed up to check in for a wedding, and they're all swooning out loud over Luke, who is in the parking lot without a shirt on. And, like, how old are these women that are here for a wedding?
They appear to be older. I don't know if they're that much older than them, but he is a very freshly graduated from high school boy. So it's still, yeah, yucky.
It gives me the ick in a really big way, because
all
I'm like,
these women, seriously, so far in this book, like, oogling over young men, I'm like, okay, ugh, like, what is wrong with y'all?
Yeah. I think like 25-year-olds look like children. I can't imagine then looking at an 18-year-old and being like, adult.
Yeah. Yes. And in my mind, like, they are children. Like, I'm friends, obviously, yes, with people in their young 20s, but like, sometimes when they say certain things, I'm like, oh, that's right. Like, you were still a fetus child. Like, you were, your frontal lobe is still developing. I forget. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
And they just look baby, but they think they're so big. So they're like, I'm 23 and I'm an adult now. And I'm like, you're not, sweetie.
I thought the same thing.
But you're not. Yeah, I really thought I was. I was like, oh my god, I'm so old. I'm 23. And now I'm like, oh, oh, you young little naive child.
You little cutie. You don't even know.
Yeah. You don't even know. You don't even know what's in store for you yet.
Oh god. But they're all looking at him. It's gross. So then he comes inside, and the women start like flirting with him a little bit, like, oh, you don't need your shirt. Like, you can take it off. And he's like, no, I gotta, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no service. And then we see him and Emmeline kind of get into like a little lover's spat, a little,
yes,
they're starting to get irritated with each other. She's like asking what he's doing here. She's like, he's like, oh, I need to give invoices to your grandmother. And she's like, okay, follow me to my mom's, I almost said apartment. Office. And the girls are still watching him, and she says, your fan club just keeps growing. And he says, hardly, they're on vacation, would look at anybody. Ew. And she replies, not everybody's putting on a show, though. Oh.
Oh, okay. I loved this a little bit because, I mean, I'm never about victim blaming. The old icky women are the problem, not Luke. But I do love that it's like a little bit of a role reversal because usually mm-hmm. women are the ones being told like it's our problem for the way that we dress, that we're hit on or assaulted or anything like that. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I love that as a teenage boy, like he's kind of being told that. It's like, oh, put the shoe on the other foot. We love that.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel? Yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh, there's like a little like jealousy, like she says, like, yeah, they've kind of been like having these little spats lately and they kind of keep like jabbing at each other. And I was like, yeah, things are happening there.
It doesn't even seem like to me that she's jealous of these women or like having those kind of, like, to me, right. The way I read this is like she's just so annoyed with him and she's like, this happens every day. Like, why do you need to constantly not have a shirt on?
Yeah.
Which, like, why does he need to constantly not have a shirt on? You know, like.
Luke, put on a shirt, you know.
Put on a shirt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely. Yeah. Like, I don't think, like, obviously, I don't think she's like, oh, my God, you'd actually leave me for one of these, like, weird women who are, like, you know, hitting on you when they're checking into their rental house. But. It is just like, yeah, like there's this weird tension between the two of them, mostly because of him.
Yes.
And because he's a dean and he's just going to be a little small town boy who has his shrimp burgers, which there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, people, but she's destined for more and not even more. And like she needs to leave for small town, but just like destined for more personally, like out of a relationship. She needs someone who challenges her. She needs something that'll challenge her. And he's not it.
Yeah, exactly. Grandma is like, hey, you have to go over to Foam Free. The owners bought their own doorknob that you have to install, whatever. And she's like, cool. And basically she's supposed to be in the sandbox checking people in, but she just does not want to be doing that. So she's been avoiding it, but she finally has to go out there and do it. And who is in there covering for her? Morris.
Our boy Morris. Yes,
and he is not doing well here at this. I don't know what job is good for Morris, but it's not anything that involves people.
I don't know if there is one. Yeah, maybe he's just not a customer service person. Maybe he would be better, I don't know, collecting data at a desk somewhere or something.
Yeah, he needs to be like a back end kind of person.
Yeah, 100%.
Which I wish I was. Sadly, I've been cursed.
I feel you.
So she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I got a new job with those people over there. And it turns out those people over there are Theo and Ivy. He's helping them like unload boxes or something. Yeah. Basically, they're like they're trying. Theo really wants to interview Emmeline. He's like. She's like, I don't even know Clyde. And he's like, yeah, but like Ivy's being a bitch. She's like, Theo's under the impression that you did. And like Theo looks like he's like facial expression is like begging her to just agree to this. And Ivy's being such a fucking bitch. Like she is just openly insulting Colby and people from Colby like this entire they're asking her to do them a favor.
Also, if you're into this guy, he is from Colby. Like, right. If you want him to, you know, come help you out.
Yeah, exactly. So strange. But yeah, she's like, I can't bring you to Clyde, but I can like bring you to some local haunts here so you can see what Colby's really like and not the tourist version. And Theo's like, excellent. So you can come over at 7:00. And that's happening now. She's like, okay, great. I guess I'm going over there at 7:00 to help with this. And apparently Theo was telling everybody that him and Emmeline are like good friends, basically. Right. Like he was acting like they had knew each other. And she was like, we've met maybe 3 times. So we're seeing like this little, I think, an interest in her that extends beyond, I want to include you in the documentary.
Yeah. I love that her sister Amber, when she goes back home, which is before she has to go over, because she's like, all right, she goes out to the sandbox and does her little worky work thing, because again, Margot kind of like pushes her. She says she's like starstruck, or at least like New York struck by Ivy. And yeah. So she kind of, again, she's like, she sees that our boy Theo is a little bit stressed out and is basically pleading with his eyes, like, please, 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 I'm trying to impress my boss, but also like, please, 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 like, I definitely want you to be the one who shows me around Colby, because like, maybe I want to spend more time with you. So she is like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll see you at 7. And then she heads home. Of course, her mom and Amber are in her room again, even though she's like, WTF, I tell you not to go into my room. And they're there because dad's doing something upstairs with fumes, so she doesn't fight them too much. She gets on her, as she says, very crowded bed. And my favorite thing here is this conversation between Amber, who basically is like, oh, is this boy cute? I want to know about this boy. And she's like, I like have a boyfriend. And her mom is also like, she has Luke. Like, what are you even talking about? And the savageness of Amber here, which I love. She's like, high school romance never lasts. And she's like, did yours, to her mom, which of course. I was like, savage.
Yeah. Amber gives no fucks.
Yeah, and I love her for that, truly. I was like, wow, that was savage, but also fantastic. And I love that literally her saying that is what reminds her mom, like, oh, yeah, your half-brother called. Oh, yeah, speaking of high school romances, that didn't last. Here's the, I took a note this time. Your half-brother called. Here you go. Oh, jeez.
That's so cute that he called, by the way.
Oh, he's following up. He wants to know if mini golf is still on, which is adorable.
It is adorable. I hope they go mini golfing.
Same. I wish the best for little Benji.
Emmeline has not told her mom about their separation, and she feels like this is like a huge, like, as the more time that passes and she doesn't tell her, like, the bigger of a deal it is.
Yeah.
Probably not.
I would just be like, it slipped my mind. Like, it's not like she was, like she said, she was trying to keep it from her. But yeah, now that she has it, and she's just like, oh, shouldn't come on this trip. It's like, oh, when do you fit that into conversation?
Yeah. Oh, they are not together. So then she gets that phone call from Theo. He is very eager to get her around him. Like, he is very, this is might be like the most eager Destin love interest we've seen. He is like, hey, just want to make sure you're still coming over at 7. Then, so she's talking to him in the hallway, and he's like, I just wanted to make sure, like, you didn't change your mind. And she's like, oh, I didn't even know that was an option, but now it's too late. So and then she starts coughing and hacking because of the fumes of that her dad is using upstairs get to her. And Theo's on the phone this whole time. And then she hangs up. She's like, all right, I'll see you at 7. And that's the end of chapter 6.
Yeah. Chapter 6 is very much just a setup for chapter 7, essentially, which is fine. We had to get from point A to point B. We're kind of setting up the whole she's going to be helping with this documentary begrudgingly sort of situation. Chapter 7 is a little bit more meaty. It's where things get a little more exciting.
Things pick up here. So when she pulls up to Sand Dollars, their house, the first thing she sees is Ivy on the phone, pacing. I almost said panting. Oh my God. I literally, like,
she's a dog.
The brain is melting out the ears. But she eventually goes up to the front door and Theo opens it basically right away, which means he was like waiting for her. And Emmeline thinks this is cute. I think he needs to maybe chill.
Take it down a notch. As my husband and I say to each other all the time, not really to each other, but more to our dog, you need to calm down.
You need to calm down. To quote Taylor Allison Swift.
Taylor Allison Swift. You're being too loud. You're being a little bit too enthusiastic about your girl here, Theo. I need you to take it down like at least a notch, okay?
Yeah, yeah. It can border onto creepy really easily. So tells her that the doorbell's broken, and she's like, how the hell is the doorbell broken? Like, this is a brand new house. She sees that, she was like, oh, I'll get it fixed. Like, I'll send someone over. And he's like, do you ever stop thinking about work? She's like, no, doesn't feel like it. They go upstairs and all the furniture is like not there. She's like, I don't know where the furniture is, but it's not here. Now there's like tables and chair, like folding chairs and just like a bunch of equipment. He's like, sorry about the mess. We've been working nonstop. And then she pulls out a chair to sit down. There's books on it. And she's, one of them is called Urban Rural, a retrospective, and another one, Modern Coast. And these are Clyde's paintings in book form.
Yes. Fancy.
Which is pretty cool. It is like the one she describes, there's an image of sand, but it's in the painting, it's just a small center square surrounded by a cityscape, slabs of concrete, brick wall, and storefronts. The street view is dark and grimy, and in contrast, the tiny piece of beach almost glowed. His early stuff was more collage, standard cutouts, but after a couple of years, he started this contrast series.
Okay, this at the bottom of page 125 is where I was trying to look into something and I couldn't figure it out. I feel like when she's asking about, didn't I ask you to contact that guy from here who was at, yes, Parsons once I read in the article? And I was like, who is that? And I was like, I feel like Parsons has been mentioned, but I couldn't. I was like, is this Norman? Is this, because like, the only other artist character we know is Wes, but Wes is not from Colby. He is from Lakeview. So I was like, now she could be saying it in a vague way of like, she's from New York, this is North Carolina. North Carolina is all the same to her. But I was like, if we're speaking specifically about Colby, could it be Norman? Like, I was like, I'm like, I know Parsons has been mentioned before. And so I was trying to figure it out and I could not figure it out. So Cece?
So Cece, let us know.
Oh, maybe he's sending the bat signal. What is it? What is this reference? Who is this person? I need to know.
I don't recall it being meant. I did think to myself, oh, I wonder if this is Norman. I was like waiting for them to say the character's name and they never did. And I was like,
And I was like, is he gonna come in later on? Because if so, I'm here for it.
Yes.
But I know. Don't know.
Yeah. So Ivy is banging doors, she's hitting things, and she yells, what the hell is wrong with the people down here? Are they so backward that they can't even tell when someone's trying to do something good for them?
Ma'am.
Ma'am. First of all, like, Clyde very clearly doesn't really want to do art anymore. That's why he came here. That's why he does his own thing. Like, you're not doing something good for him. You're doing something good for yourself. So
right. I was like, how is this good for him? Like, how highly do you think of yourself that you're like, I've come down to make this documentary about a man who doesn't want to be talked about, wants to live a private life and not even make art anymore. Can't you tell him to do something good for him? And it's like, how are you doing a good thing for him? Please tell me.
It's like such a big city person coming to a small town in the South and being like, I'm from the city, so I can help you with my wealth of knowledge. She, like, Emmeline, like, decides to leave because she's like, okay, fuck this bitch.
Which, fair, honestly.
So she starts walking away and Theo catches her and he's like, no, like, hold on, like, don't go somewhere. And Emmeline's like, find someone else to help you. I'm not your girl. And while you're at it, you might want to tell your boss to reread the rental contract she signed. If this house is damaged in any way, she will pay for it.
Snaps all day for that. Yes, queen.
Yes, queen. I love how no bullshit Emmeline is. Like, she truly, like, she's not thinking these thoughts. She's saying these out loud. She's like, I will not be disrespected by this big city biatch. But
yeah. I like when he's like, she's just stressed, and she's like, no, she's rude, and I better stand here and be insulted. And it's like, yes, thank you. Say it louder for the people in the back, these people that are like, I'm just blunt, I'm just whatever. No, you chose to be rude. That's a choice. People aren't just born that way.
Right. People are fucking assholes, and then they're like, that's just who I am. I'm an asshole. I'm from New York. And you're like, it works.
That's not how it works. Not remotely how this works. Thank you so much.
But yeah, he defends her a lot in this chapter, which, like, and at some point, like, I mean, we'll get there, but Emmeline, like, kind of, not, like, agrees with him, but she's like, okay, you've got a point. Like, I guess I don't know her. But, like,
what she has shown you hasn't been, like, are you, how many times does someone have to insult you before you're like, I'm going to give you one more chance, because, like, three strikes and you're out? Like, I understand his point, like, when they have the, like, you're kind of stereotyping too conversation or whatever, which, yeah, like, I think is a little bit later on in this chapter, but we'll just discuss now because we're thinking about it, about, like, the fact that you're right. He does defend her a lot, which I understand, like, he does know her more personally. And there are some people that are, that can come off a little sour and bitter, and they are truly deep down nice people. But first of all, she seems pretentious as all fuck. And, like, her art, her documentary, mm-hmm. like, when they talk about her documentary, it's like, she made this movie. Don't you know her? Shouldn't you know her? And it's like, no one knows who you are, sweetie. And all she has done is be rude. So it's like, yeah, I don't know her personally. But what she has shown me so far is making me not want to get to know her. And I think that's totally fair. Like, don't judge a book by its cover, but, like, if you've read the first two chapters of the book and you're not liking it, you are within your right to go ahead and on out of there. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, he seems like a very naive kid who's just like, well, she's got power, so that must mean something. And it's like,
because to him, it's like, this is what he wants to do for a living, right? And she's given him a chance. And so, like, mm-hmm. this whole chapter, it's like, he's like, oh, thank you so much. This is really going to impress Ivy. And that's honestly, like, that's a lot of any job that you get into is networking and impressing your boss. And you do things you don't want to do, and you say things you don't want to say, and you work hours you don't want to work, like, because that's what we all have to do. It's a capitalistic hellscape, okay? And particularly in things like the arts, it's very hard to get your foot in. So if he can, you know, this very impressive documentary, and if he can get in good with her and impress her, like, that's good for him. But I'm just like, my dude, like, you were just so, like, he's really put her up on a pedestal, I think, of like, oh, she's, like, this big, important person, and I want to be a big, important artiste one day, so I have to. And it's like, no, she's a pretentious asshole.
Yeah, like, you can be a successful artist and be nice.
Yes, exactly.
Speaking of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, speaking of Taylor Swift, be the person who every town you go to, you donate to the local food bank, and you're nice to your staff. Like, be that person, you know?
Yes. Yes, I know. She is a billionaire, but she does a lot. Yeah. So, you know, she does more than most billionaires.
Yes, which we respect. And again, not to say that she is a perfect person, because that's impossible. No one is a perfect person. But yeah, you could be a billionaire and be nice and do good things. Oh, look at you.
Walmart scanner rang this up as $5. Considering going back.
We love that. Thank you so much for that update. We appreciate it. Go get you some Dr. Pepper. Also, Dr. Pepper, sponsor us, but pay full price.
Dr. Pepper, sponsor your Dr. Peppers.
Not Walmart.
All right, where were we? Sorry, everyone, before my husband interrupted with great news about Dr. Pepper.
Great news, everyone.
I'm telling you.
Great news, everyone.
You know, we're all... We're almost 100 episodes in, and he still wants to be a Hate Spinnerbait co-host so badly. Maybe one of these days we'll just give him a small little segment. No, that would be too much.
No.
We can't.
We can't, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
It would not end well for anyone.
No. Our listeners would be confused. Yeah. We might be confused.
I think we would be the most confused out of everyone, to be honest. Oh, Jesus.
He's a character.
Truly, he really is. Lord love him. Okay. So, yes. Here we are. Ivy is a bitch.
Yeah.
And she and Theo's like, no. Like, you don't understand. Please stay. I like you. And during this time, our boy Luke is messaging her. And he's just like, eat.
I know.
Which I guess means like, hey, you want dinner? You want to do dinner tonight? And so she's like, I don't really feel the need to explain this whole situation. In a sense, she is still working. So she types out the message, still working, we'll call soon. You know, hit send. We learn later she didn't hit send, but she thinks she hit send. And who has not been there? We've all been there. And not with the cute guy from out of town, but we've all been there. We're like, no, here's the receipts. I sent you a text message. I didn't respond. And then you're like, shit, I did not respond.
I have it typed out. I just forgot to hit it.
It's right there. It's just there. I'm so sorry. So she types that out, and then she's like, okay, fine. Like, I will go with you, and I can't get you to Clyde, but, you know, I'll show you the local spots like I promised earlier. So she tells him, you know, it's not a grand tour. It's probably about 15 minutes. And he's like, I don't care. Like, I'm so excited to impress my boss. Let's go. So she talks about the things she'd usually tell the tourists when they ask her, which includes eat the famous onion rings at the Last Chance Cafe. Hells yeah. Rent bikes from Abe's. We also love that. So little shout outs to some of our fave places. But she was saying, like, that's not really, like, the real thing. So finally she decides to take him to go look at fish, essentially. It's not really, but it's like the fish warehouse where they're packaging up the fish, which is where we'll be sent to all the seafood restaurants throughout the town. So it's like a bunch of pickup trucks, and there they are scaling, and she goes in there and she can like point out the fish, which actually when she like mistakens, the guy corrects her and he says that's a striper. So she's like, oh, sorry, that's a striper. And she's like, that's what you'll be eating at the reef room this weekend and just about everywhere else you order fish. So, you know, these guys have like a little talk with them, and she's like, if this is what you want, like if you want real Colby, like it doesn't get any more real than this. She asks if they can film, which again, this is where Theo is so like, what, how do you not all know Ivy Mendelsohn? He's like, she did Cooper's Way, and all of them, again, these men who are there in a fish warehouse, like scaling fish to go package and send to restaurants around time, do not know Cooper's Way. Okay, Theo, read the room. My right. I was like, I know your audience. So, you know, she's like, she explains to them it's about some New York artist who claims Colby inspires him, and they're like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever, like just don't get in the way. And then she is kind of impressed how, you know, Theo, when he's talking to people and is, you know, girl jeans, as Luke calls them, when he's kind of around, he doesn't fit in. But when he has a, you know, when he's recording, she is amazed at how well he blends in. Like, he just kind of seamlessly blends in. He's quiet. He gets what he wants. And he's like, thank you so much. This is fantastic. And he says, you know, whenever we try to get like B-roll, people tend to get skittish. And she's like, maybe it's your approach. He's like, what do you mean? And this is where they kind of have that conversation about Ivy not having the best people skills, and him being all like, you don't know her. And she's like, okay, fair enough, I don't. But again, like I said, what she's gotten to know so far, it's, I think, fair of her to judge.
Yeah, and she's like, you haven't put out the welcome mat for her either. And it's like, well, why would she?
Why would she? Like, in what world? And also, she brought her cheese. She brought her cheese plate, okay? She did welcome her. Easy. Give me some cheese. And I'm like, oh my God, are we best friends? Thank you so much. How did you know? Right. All I've ever wanted. Cheese. So, if someone showed up with a cheese plate for me, I'd be into it. She's tried. She's been nothing but friendly. And Ivy has been nothing but mean. But okay. I'm like, what? Yeah. Well, welcome that. Did you want her to bring out for her? Exactly. So that's weird. Then this is where we get, honestly, all this next little bit I do love. This whole Gertz backstory, because we know about Gertz, obviously. And we kind of get to know a little bit about the Gertman family and where the Gertz come from. We know they come from North Redemain.
North Redemain.
Thank you. You're so much better. You know that that's where they come from. But we don't know the whole, like, you know, backstory. So anyways, she has some Gertz. We love a bracelet. We love a friendship bracelet vibe. So obviously we love this. And he's like, hey, what's up with that? I see you have that. Your sisters have them. A few other people around town have them. What is it? And she's like, it's a local thing. And he says, local as in private, off limits. And she's like, no, just sad. So they head out to North Redemain. Breaking nope. news coming in.
North Redemain.
And they head out there in that direction. Which, again, as we know, that a lot of things are very, from what happened to Goodbye, North Redemain's, like, not where it's at anymore. Colby definitely, even though Colby's tiny, like, it has much more going on. North Redemain, she's saying, like, Gertz is one of the only things, like, left out there. So they head up there. Theo asks if it's short for Gertrude. She says, nope. And when they go in, there's Mr. Gertman behind the, like, counter watching, like, an old TV. And not giving a crap, basically, that people are in a store, which is my favorite kind. No, I don't need your help. Please don't ask me. Like, let me wander aimlessly by myself. So they pass by, like, this old cooler. And Theo says that he's like, seriously vintage. I know a place in Brooklyn that would pay a fortune for it. And it's like, yeah, it sounds about right. A bunch of pretentious hipsters in Brooklyn. So, oh my God, y'all, that is just a vintage. I say with love to Brooklyn. Anyone out there who's from Brooklyn, my apologies. But also, y'all know.
Also, like, I'm that guy. Like, yeah. I'm that fucking guy. I'll take this.
I love a cute old-timey vintage thing. I love going into antique shops. I am that guy. Yes.
Yes.
100%. I'm like, wow, guys, this is vibes. We watch shows about, like, people restoring Victorian houses. We're that guy, okay?
Yeah. We're not cool.
No shade to those people. My people. So she's like, basically tells them that this is a family business since the turn of the last century. And Mr. Gertman obviously knows her. He's like, oh, you know, how's your mom? She's good. How's Rachel doing? You know, they kind of do the small town pleasantries. Everyone knows everyone kind of situation. So she asks Mr. Gertman, my friend here is filming a documentary, you know, the history and all the area. We were wondering if maybe you could shoot a little bit of footage in the store. And so he's like, yeah, like no one's really here. It's totally fine for me. If you do that, you know, we're not busy right now. So he goes around, he starts at the cooler, and he's like, oh, this is great. It's going to be provide some great local color and a sense of the staying power of local business. And it's like, oh, gosh, okay, yeah. Which is just such a, like, film bro guy. Listen, I took some film classes when I was in college, and let me tell you, I know this guy. I took classes with this guy. I had to listen to this guy give a presentation on The Dark Knight and the awesomeness that is Christopher Nolan, okay? We all know that person. And let me tell you, Christopher Nolan ain't shit. Okay, thank you. whatever the Oscars say, he ain't shit. So anyways, this is where she sees, she's kind of like playing with the bracelets. I am surprised in Our Lord's year 2013, these bracelets are $7 or 2 for $12. I was like, okay, Gertman's.
I know. I was like, okay.
I'm a bit pricey for 2013, but I was like pricey for now. But I mean, I guess they're homemade. I don't know. Everyone seems to like them. It's fine. So she's kind of looking at the bracelets while he's doing his little, you know, thingamabob. This next part, though, is quite cute, I think, with Theo. He finds these milk crates that say Crate Farms. And he is stoked, y'all. Like, hella excited about this. And Emmeline is confused. And so he's like, these are prominently featured in one of Clyde's contrast pieces, one of the early ones, but most critics have assumed the name was intended to be meaningful, like a metaphor. And Emmeline is like, Crate? That name is meant to be a metaphor. I'm confused. And he's like, Cré. He corrected me. It's French. Means feared. And she's, this is my favorite line in this chapter. Well, my second favorite line, because my favorite line is on the next page. But my second favorite line on page 136 is, you think he was afraid of milk crates? I thought, genius, love that. So this is where Theo explains. He's like, no, that's not it. It's about, you know, agriculture. So you're not the only one, Michael. I'm struggling with words today too. Agriculture meets industry and the small family farm being overtaken and this, that, and the other thing. Again, all very like deep meaning things that may or may not actually be true about these paintings. And so he asked, like, the Cranes were a real family. And Mr. Gertman's like, yeah, they had a farm up there. It's not anymore, though. It's being turned into condos and stuff. And he's like, you know, they ran out of money. And so he's super stoked about this. He thinks this is really going to impress Ivy. So he asks, is there any chance that these might be for sale? And, of course, Mr. Gertman is hella confused as to why he would want milk crates. Old ass milk crates, to be exact. And he's like, you want to buy my milk crates? And my favorite line now, Emmeline says, he's from New York. I told him, this explained everything. And listen, as someone who is married to a man from New York who has in-laws who are from New York, it does explain everything.
Yes, it does.
It truly, truly does. Lord love them. Lord love them. So he's really excited. He's like, I'll give you $50 for it. And so of course Mr. Gertman is like, yeah, they're old dusty like milk crates, like sure, whatever. Well, you can have them. And he's like, and two bracelets. So then he kind of looks at it. That's $62 he spends here, but he leaves pleased. He is happy. They both say their pleasantries, good night. Mr. Gertman basically ignores them, and that they head back into the car. And she says this is where she realized he was beaming. like literally grinning ear to ear as he turned the crate in his hands. "This is amazing," he said. "I mean, seriously, I never would have even hoped to find anything like this." So again, she's just like, "I don't know, this boy Cray, like it's a milk crate, but like if he's impressed and he thinks he's going to impress Ivy, then that's fantastic." Which also, like, I do love someone just finding passion in something like that. Like, that is honestly, I think, really sweet. So this is where we get the history of the bracelets. She asks about them. And of course, he's so excited about this milk crate, he like basically forgot that he bought them. And she explains that his daughter Rachel makes them. She's in the same grade as Amber when they were in school, but she had a really bad accident right before 11th grade. And she was riding her bike home from her boyfriend's and got hit by a drunk driver. She was left on the side of the road. It was a tourist who just like hit her and skidded off, which also could explain why maybe some people in the small town are not really thrilled with out of downers going around poking around and such. Particularly, you know, this family, although Mr. Grimman was nice. But anyways, so they, you know, that happened. And this is one of the things that's helpful to her. She just sits there and makes patterns, makes bracelets. Her mother says that there's something in the patterns of braiding the colors. It helps her. So that's the story of the Girts, which we now know, which I'm like, oh.
Very depressing.
Did not realize when we were first introduced them that it had such a sad backstory. So yes, Emmeline was right when she was like, it's kind of sad. It's not kind of, it is extremely sad. But I love that they sell them and that everyone around town has really adopted them. And like that part of it makes my heart happy. So she's talking about, you know, she's coming to the outer edge of Colby now. She's driving down the same road she's driven on all the time. And she says that, like, this is how she always thinks of it, is like this time of year, her window half open. And she's like, but I know this isn't true. Like, I've driven down this road in winter and fall and spring. Like, it's not just, but like, that is so summer, especially summer when you're like that age before, like when you're on like the precipice of change of going off to college, is you're like,
yeah,
this is when I'm driving down this road in my hometown and, you know, the window's open. And like, that is the only way you remember that road, even though obviously like you sludge down it after school and, you know, like all these different times when it was not as like glamorous and romantic in your mind. So she's like so lost in all of these thoughts that she almost doesn't hear this like crazy rude ass beeping, and it's coming from Luke's truck. So she slows down, he kind of follows her, then pulling into the bank parking lot, Theo's like, hey, what's going on, everything okay? And she's like, yeah, it's fine. So she's pissed because she doesn't know what the F's Luke problem is. So she gets out of the car and she's like, yo, dude, what's with the beeping? And he's like, what's with you not answering my text? And I'm like, ah, this is awkward. And also so Rory Dean coded. So Rory Dean. So she's like, I totally did. And of course, that's when she pulls it up and realizes that she typed it all out and never sent it. So she's like, whoops, didn't go through. And he's like, yeah, you don't say. He's like, so you're working, doing what? Delivering milk? And she's all like, Luke, calm yourself. So Theo, of course, Theo, this is not the time to jump in. You're trying to make it better, but you're not making it better. He jumps in and he's like, actually, we were filming a documentary and these crates are very important. And I'm like, my dude, no, not the time. So Luke is like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm going home. Call me later. And she's like, yeah, sure. So then Theo kind of apologizes and is like, I'm really sorry if I like got you in trouble in some way, if I caused you any issues by being out tonight. And she's like, you didn't. It's fine. And he's like, he didn't seem very happy, though. And she's like, whatever. He'll be fine. He's just being a dean. Like, whatever. We're not even worried about it. And they go back onto the main road. Theo kind of assumes that they've been together for a long time, which ding, 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 ding. He is accurate. She's like, yes, since ninth grade. He's like, oh my God, I can't even imagine dating someone that I've known since then. Like, that's crazy to me. And she's like, oh, like, you're not that much out of like high school, are you? Like, only a couple of years. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, high school like wasn't a good time for me. Like, I'd be happy to never see anyone again. And he's like, just a couple years removed. Nonetheless, if I was like 10 years removed. So needless to say, Theo will not be attending any of his high school reunions, which honestly, respect. Yes. We get to learn a little bit about his history, that he was quite a nerd in high school, which tracks. He was a computer geek that was in the history of cinema and his trombone. He functioned mostly as a school-wide joke or a punching bag, usually both. Emmeline is like, trombone, tell me more. And he said, this is an incredibly underappreciated member of the Brass family, which I was like, oh, we got some like classic Destin fans going on. She, you know, it was like, oh, so basically he's saying like, you know, I had no idea how to be cool. And then she's like, it was like, I want to be beat up. And she's like, you know, I wouldn't say that. And he's like, oh, you don't have to. And then he says, though, like, the good thing is about college, you know, he's saying, like, high school is terrible. And he's like, college, though, is awesome. Plenty of geeks, no lockers, much better. Which, yes, 100%. College is definitely where it's at. That is where you would find your people. High school is, like, again, I'm not even someone who had, like, a terrible high school experience. It wasn't, like, the best. But, like, when people are, like, it's the best years of your life. And it's, like, it's not. College is so much better. So much better. Everything past that is so much better. Like, yeah, that bullshit that called that high school's best years of your life is 1,000% not. So Emmeline's like, that's good to hear. You know, I leave at the end of August. And so he's like, you'll love it. A whole new world, I promise. And she's like, you know, like, he thinks I'm, like, going off. Like, I doubt that a couple hours different at East U is really going to be a whole new world for me. And it's like, you would be surprised, Emmeline. Like, that actually can really, truly be. But she was saying, it's one thing for me to share my past in Colby with Theo. The future as always was different. I thought of the guys at the fish house, Rachel Gertman at her table. It seemed like things either stayed just the same or changed irrevocably. And like most times I found myself with hard choices. I just wish there was something clear and easy right in between. Yeah, man. Growing up's hard.
Yeah. Growing up is hard. It's not fun.
10 out of 10 difficult, for sure. Yeah. Wish there was an easy mode, but alas, no.
And I would love to have like just a couple boring years. I'm begging you.
Begging for it.
Begging for it.
Give me one. Give me something, universe. I think as millennials, we've lived through way too many crazy historical moments. And that's like, that's the world stuff. Not to mention like the personal stuff that we have to endure.
Right.
Good times. Give us a couple boring ones. It'd be great. If I could like ride the rest of my 30s with like nothing crazy going on in the world and like personal financial goodness, health, you know, happiness. God, that'd be great.
That would be great.
But on that downer note, everyone, life is good. It is great most days. And there are, you know, today at work, I can't remember what it was or something silly. And I was like, you know what? You got to find the joy in the mundane things. Because if not, you would just be miserable all the time. So I'm thankful I'm not in high school anymore. That's my joy right there. I'm much rather be in my 30s than be in high school again. 1,000%. But that's the moon and more chapter 6 and 7. Thanks for coming along. What a roller coaster.
Yes. What a day we've had.
You know, together. Like the highs of Wembley Stadium, the lows of growing up, but so much good overall, everyone. Thank you again to our patrons. Y'all are awesome. Everyone who listens to us is awesome. I'm just getting real emotional as we approach 100 episodes. Just very thankful to everyone. Whoever says anything nice, like sometimes the messages we get are so nice and they legitimately make me want to cry in a good way, everyone, to be clear.
Yes.
So thank you so much. It's so flattering. People listen to hours of our voices and why?
Why?
I can't listen to my voice, but thank you all for doing it. I really appreciate that. And that's about all we got for you. Come join us for chaos. Take care of yourselves. Keep on keeping on. I wish for all of us a couple of soft years. Please and thank you.
Yes. Take care of yourselves. Bye.